St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show, The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, 908 on KDXU, Mayor Thursday. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Mayor Michelle Randall is about 4 or 5 feet away from me right now.
Good morning, Andy.
With her red Christmas-y sweater on.
It's quite Christmas red, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's our last regular city council meeting of the year tonight. We have a work meeting next week, and then we're done.
And Christmas and all that
stuff. So...
Do you get, obviously with the meetings you get a break, but do you get like a break as mayor at all? Or
I will probably about the week before Thanksgiving until the new year.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. We'll really lighten up on meetings, and a lot of the board meetings I have for December have been canceled, and so it doesn't hurt your feelings. The only thing that ends up taking place of all those meetings is all of the Christmas parties that you're invited to. And each of our departments put on a lunch or a breakfast or a dinner, and there's 15 of those.
15?
Yeah, there's 2 today.
And you have to go to all of them?
Well, I try, but I can't, you know, I can't clone myself.
Yeah.
Like, there's one today at Cafe Sabor at noon, and another one at Sun River at 1. If I ate at every one of them, I'd gain like 20 pounds in December.
She wouldn't be Michelle Randall. She'd be Michelle Randall.
Randall. Yeah. You sounded like my father-in-law when you said that. I've heard my father-in-law before I ever saw him.
Really?
And his voice was so deep and gruff, and he sounded... Yeah. And I pictured somebody about your size.
Yeah, big guy, yeah.
He was like 5'6". His voice did not match, the looks. But anyway, so a lot of holiday parties, and we last Monday kicked off the Christmas lighting at Town Square, and it's beautiful for those who haven't been by.
Yeah.
And up on the Red Hill at the Desert Gardens by the Water Conservancy District.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's just beautiful. I went by there last night when I was on my way to a board meeting there. And then this Saturday, they're doing the Wreaths Across America at 10 o'clock, and they start at Tahnequint, and anybody can come out and volunteer to go help put wreaths on the graves of all the veterans, and you would be amazed how many veterans we have buried here throughout the county. So they do it at Tahnequint, they do it at the old cemetery, they go up to the Shivowitz, and I think over in Hurricane.
And today is appropriate to mention that because today is Pearl Harbor Day.
Pearl Harbor Day.
They're doing something at 10:48, so in about an hour and a half from right now at Tahnequint.
At Tahnequint. And it's a really short remembrance, but it's really awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
So anybody's invited to that as well.
You know, I think that people, I hope people understand that our mayor is very much honors the veterans.
I love our veterans.
And our first responders.
Yes.
And is it a son-in-law that is a first responder, a police officer?
I have two sons I have a son who's a police officer. I have a son who is a life flight paramedic, and I have a son-in-law who is a firefighter paramedic.
Wow.
And he actually works in Vegas, and I was really grateful he was home yesterday.
I think about those guys and that old story about the kid that's scared when something bad is happening, and his mom says, look, see everybody's running away. See those people that are running toward the emergency? Those are your first responders. Those are the ones that are doing everything, including risking their own lives, to make sure we're safe.
Yep. We have just very few left of the greatest generation, you know, the World War II vets, just a handful. And so it's so cool when we can honor them, and any veteran, whenever I see a veteran like at the grocery store or anywhere and they have like a Vietnam veteran hat on or something, I always thank them for their service, and they're so grateful.
My dad was 6 years old when Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Wow.
And, obviously wasn't old enough to serve in World War II, but still has memories of, food rationing and stuff like that. in the war effort. And we're going to talk more about Pearl Harbor a little bit later in the program.
Mayor, have you been there? Have you visited?
I have, yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really sacred, isn't it? You get out there and it's just a really like sacred experience.
Well, you know, and when you go on vacation, there's all these different areas of, you know, to places to have fun, and they're jovial and lighthearted, and you get to Pearl Harbor, and it's not heavy. You know, I wouldn't call it heavy and depressing. It's just, like you said, it's sacred, and it's not, you don't go to there to have fun. You go there because there's, you know.
It's like going to Arlington.
Yeah.
You know, you go there, and it's a sacred experience, and you're overwhelmed by all those who have sacrificed their lives for such an amazing country, and that you can honor them, and you know, so we are very grateful for our veterans, and today especially on Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to play some of FDR's speech right after it happened later on in the program. Mayor has to leave a little bit early today in about a half hour or so, so we'll get to that a little bit later. I just had a show on with Jeremy Larkin and Jesse Paul talking about, what is St. George? Is St. George what it used to be? Is it changing? Is it different? And somebody told them, yeah, St. George is just becoming Park City. Well, it's not. The median price of a house in Park City is $2.1 million.
Yeah.
It's one-fourth of that in St. George. Well, house prices are expensive. We're not Park City. And we'll never be Park City. But
we're growing.
Yeah.
And even as we grow, so I've been to Park City numerous times, and for example, a few days ago, there's a couple of guys, they come to town occasionally, and they have a YouTube site, and it's on First Amendment things. They want to see how riled up they can get you. And
really?
Oh, yeah. But they tell everybody it's a travel blog. Uh-huh. And so they had an interaction with our police department. So our police chief sent it and said, I just want you to know how amazing our police officers handled this. So I wanted to watch it. And they were going around town, and they would stop, and they would just be outside like a bank just filming it. Well, of course, the bank president comes out and says, can I ask what you're doing?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, we're just here making a travel video. And he's like, okay. He said, I, you know, just kind of get nervous if someone's filming a bank. You know, you just never know. And he was so kind. And he said, you know, what's your YouTube channel? I'd love to watch it. And then he went back in. Then they go to a couple of stores and a restaurant. And same thing. People walk out. Can I ask what you're doing? And they were all so kind. And at the end of the video, the guy actually said, in all of the cities we go, we are treated so kind in St. George. Mm. I think that's a huge difference between St. George and Park City. Mm. Even though we grow, we still have that hometown feeling. It's still, we're getting bigger. But I still feel that small town friendliness at places I go. You want to go, if you go and you're just walking by a stranger and you smile, they're going to smile back. Mm-hmm. Or people are going to hold the door open for you. Or, you know, ask, can I help you with that? And it's not because I'm there. I observe it every day, seeing people do this. So, do we have resort amenities? Yes. You've got Black Desert that's going to attract
PGA.
PGA.
In October.
It's going to be an amazing resort when they get it done. It's going to be great for the city of Ivins. And we'll get the benefit also in sales tax. Desert Colors, a resort community. That's what they've branded themselves. Mm-hmm. But other than that, most of our communities are just communities, you know, even Desert Canyon, which, by the way, the foundation was poured for Fire Station 10 at Desert Canyon.
All right.
So we are so excited to get, we're so excited to get a station out there. But we do have so many people from up north love to come here. You can come here year round. you go to Park City. I like to go to Park City in the summer because I don't, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a snow person.
I'm not a snow person or a skier. But it's not very far to go to Brian Head to snow ski if you live here. And during the summer, you've got all the water skiing and wakeboarding and everything you want, and plus your trails. And so, and the state gives a designation to resort cities, and only Moab and Park City have those.
Hmm. Moab, huh?
Yep.
Interesting. I have a Park City story. So when I was young, my dad was a school teacher, and every summer he would go and teach workshops to other teachers in Park City. He would teach all week long, and then they would let him keep his little condo for the weekend, and so we got to spend the weekend in Park City. It was kind of cool, you know. Yeah. It was kind of a fun thing. So I've been going to Park City every summer for most of my life. You know, just spend a week in there or spend a week there or spend a few days there. My wife and I like to go there just because Park City is almost not like real world, you know.
Right.
When you go there, it's like being on another planet.
It's kind of like a Hallmark movie to me, like their main street,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, and you know what happened 3 years ago, March of 2020.
Yes.
And that summer, we had our usual trip to Park City. And we went to Park City and, you know, did all the stuff we do there. We got the condo and, you know, you go on Main Street, go shopping or walking around and see the sights and stuff like that. Well, we started walking up Main Street in Park City, which is pretty steep. And there's a lot of pedestrians. It was summertime. And there was no mask mandate in the city of St. George.
Right.
There was a mask mandate in the city of Park City.
They're very different.
Pretty
than
liberal
we are.
Town.
Very.
And I didn't bring masks. And I wouldn't say I didn't have a mask. We weren't wearing masks. I had them because I know, like in store, a store owner has a right if they want to tell people you have to wear a mask to be in my store. That's their prerogative. So we had masks for if the store owner wanted to make us. But just walking outside, mind you, on Main Street in Park City, we got chewed out, I would say, 4 or 5 times by people, and that was a fraction of the people that gave us the stink eye, the dirty look, like,
right.
How dare you not wear a mask?
You're going to kill
street.
Us.
It doesn't matter where you stand on the COVID mask spectrum, right? It doesn't matter where you stand. The fact that we were outside on Main Street in a city and got chewed out by all these rich liberals. That kind of thing never would happen in St. George. Even if we had a mask mandate, which we didn't, even if we did, people wouldn't have stopped us and yelled at us for not wearing a mask outside. That's just ludicrous.
No. I just still feel like I got a really, really sweet card yesterday from a couple that lives up north, but they come here in the winter and stay at the Temple View RV Park. And they were having a hard time getting an inspection done for a gas line. And so she reached out to me. She didn't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she mentioned a couple of our city staff by name that she had worked with and said, you were all so friendly, mm-hmm. you know, and people don't get that. And as often, and we try and pride ourselves in being very friendly in a friendly town and welcoming. And I think that's why I just despise social media so much, because people can be so ugly.
It's like they're wearing a mask.
They are. Yeah. And yet
their names, oftentimes, it's not as anonymous as people think.
Right. Right. Yeah. And they're just so, they can just be so ugly and hateful. Mm-hmm. And you're like, would you really do that to somebody's face out on the street?
No.
Let's just be kind. You know, it's not really hard to be kind. But I think as we grow, you'll see, I really think the place that you'll see a resort, a nice resort in the future will be in Desert Color. And then, of course, in Ivins. But I think the rest, you're just going to see regular subdivisions and...
So if you were to make a prediction when it says, you know, St. George is a resort town or is becoming a resort town, you would say, well, no, not really. is kind of what you're saying.
Well, because the resort towns I've been to, super, super expensive, mm-hmm. not just to live, but to shop. Like, you go down Main Street in Park City, you're browsing. Yeah. You're not buying.
Well, unless you're very, very
wealthy,
comfortable with how fat your wallet is.
Exactly. Because, you know, they're going to have your high-end stores. Mm-hmm. You go walk down our main street and you've got a couple of antique shops and you've got an art gallery and you got Mofico, which is closing, and I'm really sad because mm-hmm. there's so many different vendors that sell some really cool things in there. And I went in there to get some Christmas gifts, but you're not breaking the bank.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we cater to the people that live here and the wages that are here.
So do you think, and I've got it up on the screen here, the LPGA and the PGA, PGA in October of next year, LPGA in May of 2025, those are like top of the line sporting events. It's almost, I mean, it's golf, but it's almost like the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, or in fact, somebody said the most significant sporting events ever to happen in Utah were the Winter Olympics, the NBA Finals with the Jazz, and then now this Black Desert Golf, PGA Golf thing.
I think you could include the Ironman World Championship that okay. was the first yeah. one ever here that ever left Hawaii.
Left Kona. But back to the golf thing, do you think that will change things here?
I think people will look at that golf course. When Tony was really in his golfing I wouldn't say addiction, but when he loved,
really into it.
When he was really into golfing, like we went down to La Costa, he wanted to golf that mm-hmm. golf course, things he had seen by watching PGA championships and yeah. things at different yeah. golf courses.
Pebble Beach, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think, yes, I think it'll bring people here and say, I want to golf on that course, but they'll come and they'll rent a room somewhere and they'll eat at our restaurants and they'll pay exorbitant golf fees
yeah.
and then they'll leave, you know,
so
and they'll
go home. You don't believe it will change too much, really?
I really don't think so.
Okay. Okay. Are you, if you look at the makeup of St. George as mayor, are you satisfied with the way it's made? I mean, do we need to change some things? I don't want St. George to be a resort town. I like what it is. I like what it was in the 90s. I'm okay with what it is now.
I like what it was in the 70s, but yeah. my gosh, now our kids can't afford to live here. Then I couldn't have afforded to live here because I couldn't have made any money to live here.
Right.
Tony and I got lucky because his dad owned a business, mm-hmm. and Tony went to work to manage that business for his dad. That's what kept us here, or we would have had to move out of the area. But I think as we grow, there's always the negative you can find with growth. The traffic, of course. Traffic. And last night I couldn't attend. They had a big meeting down at the Dixie Center on the Northern Corridor. And that should have been a done deal. And now you've got the BLM and all those
NEPA
and, all those alphabet agencies that are backtracking on that. And we need that so desperately for east to west traffic. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Desperately. And that, because that's the biggest complaint with growth that I hear is traffic.
How do I get from there to here without...
And then, of course, housing prices. And there's not one thing the city can do about housing prices. We're not in the business of building homes. So...
Imagine if you were. What kind of mess that would be.
Can you imagine?
If you have a question for the mayor, by the way, we'd love to hear from you. 673-5890 is the studio line. If you want to text me at 435-467-5842. I got a text, somebody relating their own Park City story about masks, and I guess somebody asked them to leave their store because their mask was over their mouth but not their nose, too. I just got a new text in, too. Andy asked the mayor what's being built going on at 2450 South and 3000 East. That's Art asking that.
2450 South and 3000 East. So I know where it is. Yeah. I'm just trying to say, to think, is it a subdivision or commercial? I'm going to have to get back.
She will. She's really good. She's going to text somebody. Even if she doesn't know, she'll text somebody that does.
I know. Yeah. there has been so much work being done out there, and I really want to thank our residents. The patience of Job that they have had during the 3000 East project and paving and roads closed, and it has been a mess out there. And the contractors, we hired great contractors, but what happened is they ran the water table out there is so high. It's terrible water. It's
really?
It's brackish water. But the water table was so high, and then when they got to digging into things, the pipes were just crumbling. So they had to order all new piping, and so that just pushed the project back. And now it's buzzing along again. And so I really want to thank our residents for their patience on that. It's a pain when your road's closed and you have to take a detour and it takes you longer to get places. And but there is a lot of work going on that corner. And, you know, people are like, you should know all these things. Well, there's so much going on that that would have been something we approved months and months and months ago, that it's just starting now. So... I would just have to refresh my memory.
We'll check on that. Do you know anything, speaking of trying to get your tickle your memory, the gorge, the bridge thing going there, our connection between us and Las Vegas? And I heard that bridge is done or almost done, and they're rerouting traffic. And do you know anything about that?
I don't, because I have not been down there forever.
I haven't either.
I avoid it at all costs.
Me too. In fact, another actually advertisement that I think for the St. George Airport, it might cost a little more to fly from St. George, but
so worth it
to not have to drive through the gorge, to not have to fight the TSA lines in Las Vegas and the traffic and everything. Yeah, it's definitely
during
worth
Formula
it.
One, our airport was full of
was
private
it?
Jets.
Really?
Oh yeah, they
nowhere to park.
There was nowhere to park. They were in Mesquite, and our airport about 3 days before Formula One started, there was no parking at our airport. They were flying in here and then renting a car and driving
down
to Vegas.
Nobody gave you a free ride in their private jet.
No. And when you see those jets out there, I mean, these multi-million dollar jets, you know, you're like, whose jet is that? Who owns it? What do they do?
Yeah. And it's probably some YouTube... you know, some .com guy, some YouTube guy, some, you know, that didn't actually earn the money.
Yeah, a funny story. Do you have to go to break?
Well, quick story first.
Quick funny story. So I was watching an interview with Kid Rock. Dan Rather did it.
Okay.
Do you know Kid Rock lives in a double wide trailer in Tennessee on like 100 acres?
I did not know that.
A double wide trailer, and it's camel wrapped. And he said, if it burns down, I can replace my house for $50,000. You know, I go down to Lowe's and get a dishwasher. Because he said, I've lived in Malibu. I've done all that. I don't want to do that anymore. But he said, the only thing I can't give up being wealthy is my private jet. No more TSA ever for me, ever, ever again.
Well, when you and I are rich, we'll probably feel
exactly.
The same way.
Or when you get your jet, Andy, just invite me on a trip.
I will. Invite you along. If let's see, that's going to happen on the 12th of never. I love that commercial. That is not an actor and kid actors. That is Chris Connor and his kid.
I know. He's great.
At Winter Wonderland right downtown now. So.
And he owns Farmstead Bakery, which is delicious.
So the Kairos location, and it's right there on Tabernacle, right downtown. They've turned it into Winter Wonderland for the season. And then it's going to be FS Coffee Company or something like that. They purchased a... 5,000 square foot warehouse in Leeds and they're going to be opening new farmsteads throughout the region. And if you've ever had Farmstead pastries, you know that. Now I had never had their sandwiches except for their George. The George is just, to me, that's like a staple of life. But I had one of their turkey cheese. cheese and then this like flavored mayo thing. It's amazing.
Was it good?
So yeah. Although we had this catered event here at Town Square, and they ordered Farmstead sandwiches, which is a good move, right?
Right. Cater.
And they had chips and they had water, and I'm looking around and I'm like, who is the idiot? Sorry, boss. Who is the idiot that ordered Farmstead sandwiches and didn't order one single Farmstead
right?
pastry? What are you thinking? Like,
right?
He ought to be fired. Not really. But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to go to the effort, you know what I mean? I mean, I have chipped in. They want some. I have thrown some money in to get the pastries here, too.
Yeah. I wish him great success. I think Farmstead will take off wherever he puts it here. It's got such a great reputation, and it's always busy. And we did. It is a business plaza going in on the corner of 2450
right.
and 3000.
Right.
So
right.
probably some medical offices, dental offices, things like that.
Hey, someone just sent me a picture of Kid Rock's double wide.
As I told you.
It's actually a pretty nice double wide, though.
He said his deck, that interview is on YouTube, and Dan Rather did it, and it's fascinating. It was really fascinating. But he said his deck for that double wide trailer costs more than the trailer.
Yeah, I believe it. That's a pretty fancy
deck. But he's got
deck.
A lake and
stairs down to the lake and everything.
Oh, yeah. It's a gorgeous view.
Yeah.
I'd live in a double wide right there.
And I have to say, double wides aren't like they, like in the 70s, when you talked about double wide, it was literally a double wide trailer.
Yeah.
They're really manufactured homes there. They're actually pretty nice.
They are very nice.
Our first house was a manufactured home back in 1990, I don't know when it was, 93 or 95 or whatever it was. And it was really nice. It was actually.
And I think that's a key to more affordable housing if someone would do. Development with manufactured homes because they are cheaper. Like the LDS Church is starting to do manufactured like temples. Did you hear that? Like bringing in sections that are made somewhere else and for the temples. But manufactured homes, I mean, you go in and you can have, there's nice wood floors and granite countertops.
We had a garden tub and I mean, it was, carpets were nice and it was, I never had a complaint. In fact, I will say, having lived in what they call stick-built houses now for the last 25 years, I would say our manufactured home, in a lot of ways, was nicer inside than some of the stick-built homes I lived in. So,
yeah.
Anyway, talking with Mayor Michelle Randall, Mayor of St. George City, and you survived the election season. You weren't, of course, up for election.
Oh, thank
but
goodness,
you,
but it was still
you got
stressful.
A front row seat to watch a little bit of mud being slung around.
It was an ugly election. I've never seen an ugly election before in St. George, and I hope we don't ever have one again because I just think we're better than that. And I think you sell yourself. If you want people to vote for you, then you sell yourself on what's positive about you and what you plan to do and what makes you better than other people. You don't tear other people down to make yourself look better.
Here's the other thing that bothered me a little bit. And so I had someone text in and say, look, I'm from Washington State. We had ugly elections all the time.
Right.
So I'm used to it. But the defacing of signs and property, you know, tearing things down, drawing mustaches. I mean, just this stupid stuff. That was high school. Not even high. Our high school elections weren't as immature as some of that stuff.
And those signs are expensive. And every year that does happen. I mean, I've had somebody drew a devil face on one of my big signs, and you know you're talking a $600 sign that you got to go replace, or they get torn down. Like I had a sign last when I ran 2 years ago, over on 2450 East. Is that Costco Road? Yeah.
Yeah. No, 3050.
That's 50, right. Yeah. And. A big one, a 4x8. My dad, bless his heart, he had done the signs for me. He had screwed the signs on with washers onto plywood because with the wind and everything, they just get beat up. Somebody had gone and unscrewed every single screw and took the sign and left the plywood up. Like, who has time to do that or why?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. But I am glad the election's over. I'm looking forward to 2024. I'm very grateful for the residents that passed the GO bond overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
We're going to have some amazing projects in the future.
Well, you and I talked about it before we went on the air. Because if it had been close, it had been 51% to 49% or something like that. I think the message maybe could have been a little bit mixed. Like, we're not sure about this. But it was like
63%.
I think, and that's about a 2-to-1 ratio. I think people like that St. George is more than just a place you go to sleep. We've got trails. We've got parks and places to play pickleball and places to, you know, the arts and things. We want that stuff. That's right. Important to us. It's part of the QL, the quality of life.
It truly is.
Did get a caller real quick. Wanted to ask about manufactured homes and zoning. So go ahead, Ryan. What's up?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Can you tell me where we've got any zoning for manufactured home in St. George City?
Well, right now, we probably don't have that zoning, but that's something that we are talking about because this upcoming legislative session, you are going to see so much talk about homes
and affordable
housing. Yeah. And every idea has got to be on the table. And so we have been talking internally and saying, okay, where could zoning like this be? And, you know, would it sell? Could we make it work? Would a developer be interested in it? So those are things that are ongoing discussions.
I guess my point is I think we're a little late on it. And, you know, it's a great idea, but it's basically just over the last several years been pushed away.
Yeah, we still have a lot of land out there.
Nobody wants to live in that kind of an area. And most of your developers feel like I can get a lot more for a stick-built home. And I'm not arguing that we shouldn't do it, but it's like I just hear stuff all the time, and I don't see a lot of action on those types of things. And the other concern that I have is, you know, the definition of affordable housing. If you live in Washington County right now, you have to make over $100,000 a year to be able to afford a home.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a home that's $350,000, which we don't have any, there's some townhomes out there that might be under that, but for $350,000, you got to make $96,000 a year. So I don't think it's a housing issue as much as it is a wage issue. Hmm. Is anybody addressing that?
Well, that's not something the city can control is what people pay their employees. But also, you do have to realize that with inflation, everything is increased. You know, materials and cost of land and everything's increased. So that drives up the prices, and then the wages aren't keeping up. And it's not just St. George. It's the entire nation right now. Yeah. We know we're in a mess.
My daughter went on a mission for a year and a half to, by the way, thank you for the call, for a year and a half to Chile. She came back, and I took her to lunch the other day, and it was about $15 a head for lunch.
Yeah.
And she said, Dad, is this like a really fancy place? I said, no. She says, well, it was like $30 for two of us for lunch. I said, yeah, guess what? That's the world now.
That's what lunch costs.
Unfortunately, our wages didn't double.
No.
The price of buying lunch doubled, but our wages didn't double.
No. And that's why, reality. You know, yeah. We got a presidential election next year, and we got to hope for much better than what we're getting right now.
Mayor's got to leave in a couple of minutes. We got time for one more call from Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I moved to St. George 10 years ago, and the reason I moved here mainly was the climate, and I like to play golf. And 5 years ago, I never had a problem getting a tee time. And now, if you don't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning 2 weeks in advance and book a time, you can't get one. Wow. A decent time before noon. I remember 2 years ago, Mayor, that you said that you will never build another golf course in St. George. Are you sticking to that, or have you reconsidered doing something like that because of the explosion of golfers that come here?
That St. George won't build it. A developer might, but because of water, St. George won't build a golf course. No, we own four of them. When Bloomington Golf Course was going under, they tried to get the city to buy it, and we said no. So a private developer now owns the Bloomington Golf Course, but we're just sticking with the ones we have.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mayor's got to run. I hate to cut him off, but Mayor has actually a meeting she has to be at in 12 and a half or 13 minutes, Mayor. So
yeah.
I think it's time for you to take off. So.
Well, Merry Christmas, Andy.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you our too. Residents, and a happy, prosperous New Year to all of us, and healthy and all of that good stuff. It's a good time of year, one of my favorite times of year, but it's busy yeah. time of year also.
And we love our soldiers, and we're going to talk more about Pearl Harbor when we come back. But we'll also thank you for your service to the city, because I know financially you're not getting compensated for the amount of work that you do. But
hey, it's all good.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Andy.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more little Pearl Harbor tribute when we come back. Hey, good morning to you. 9:51. Today is December 7th, 2023. It was 82 years ago today. And actually about in an hour, the exact time, too, that the Japanese pulled a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. I was not alive then. Most of you listeners were not alive, or if you were alive even, you were very small. Even my dad, who was 88 years old, was only 6 years old when this happened. We've seen the movies, we've read the history books, we've heard the speeches. Well, maybe we haven't heard all the speeches. We've all heard the first part of this speech, but I'm going to play for you just a couple of minutes of a speech given by FDR. This was the day after Pearl Harbor.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The rest, they say, is literal history. We did win through. I am not a warmonger, but I believe that the U.S. fought righteously in World War II to stop the evils of the world. Some of those evils include the Empire of Japan and what they tried to do, the will they tried to impose upon this. I've got a little more I want to read to you. On December 6, 1941, the U.S. intercepted a Japanese message that inquired about ship movements and berthing positions at Pearl Harbor. The cryptologist gave the message to her superior, who said he would get back to her on Monday, December 8th. Procrastinator. On Sunday, December 7th, the radar operator on Oahu saw a large group of airplanes on his screen headed toward the island. He called his superior, who told him it was possibly a group of U.S. bombers and not to worry about it. The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor began at 7:55 that morning. The entire attack took only 1 hour and 15 minutes. Captain Mitsuo Fuchida sent the coded message Tora 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 to the Japanese fleet after flying over Oahu to indicate that the Americans had in fact been caught by surprise. The Japanese planned to give the U.S. a declaration of war before the attack began so they would not violate the first article of the Hague Convention of 1907, but the message was delayed and not relayed to the U.S. officials in Washington until the attack was already in progress. Some say that it was purposely delayed. The Japanese strike force consisted of 353 aircraft launched from four heavy carriers. These included 40 torpedo planes, 103 bombers, 131 dive bombers, 79 fighters. The attack also consisted of two heavy cruisers, 35 submarines, 35, two light cruisers, 9 oilers, 2 battleships, and 11 destroyers. The attack killed 2,403 U.S. personnel, including 68 civilians, and destroyed or damaged 19 U.S. Navy ships, including 8 battleships. The three aircraft carriers of the U.S. Pacific Fleet were out to sea on maneuvers. Fortunately, the Japanese were unable to locate them and were forced to return home with the U.S. carrier fleet intact. The battleship USS Arizona remained sunken in Pearl Harbor with its crew on board. Half of the dead at Pearl Harbor were on the Arizona. A U.S. flag flies above the sunken battleship, which serves as a memorial to all Americans who died in the attack. If you have not been to Pearl Harbor, it's not a must go. I'm not saying go now, take your life savings and get out there, but I will say if you are able to go, it is definitely worth it. You learn things there. There is a almost sacredness to the area. You know, it's not a go and have fun type of place, but it's a go and learn and feel. And again, just one of those deals. And like I said, I wasn't alive, but we all have those moments in life. When Reagan was shot, when this space shuttle blew up, when 9/11 happened. These moments in life, you'll never forget where you were, what you were doing, and what was happening in your life. And for those that were alive during Pearl Harbor, that is one of those moments. And, you know, it plunged us into war. And fortunately, like I said, the right used the might of the right to win that war in the end. I am glad to be an American. I hope we don't lose that. And I hope young people feel today and understand today that these kinds of dates are not dates that we are happy to celebrate. These are not, you know, this isn't a barbecue holiday. This is a holiday that will hopefully prompt inside of us the idea that what we have is worth fighting for, that what we have in the United States of America, the freedom that we enjoy, the very, you know, house that we live in, the very things that we are able to do are because people made sacrifices and people fought for what was right. And I hope that we never forget all the people that died in that attack. 2,403 U.S. personnel died in that attack. And sadly, it took a couple of nuclear bombs to finally get the Japanese to understand the error of their ways, a couple of atomic bombs. So anyway, happy Pearl Harbor Day to you. May you again remember what it's all about. If you see a soldier, a veteran, someone who served their country, make sure and thank them for their service.